My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city, the electric drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I am speaking with Chilly Willy Groove, New Havener turned artist, now worldwide sensation out of Los Angeles, California. How you doing, Mr. Chilly Willy?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm here. I'm active. I'm ready to go. New Haven, here I come. West Haven, here I come. East Haven, surrounding New Haven communities, here we come.
With that said, tell me a little bit about where you grew up here.
I grew up in, it's interesting because I grew up in New Haven. We were like all over the place on Howard Avenue. We were over on Grand Avenue. We were in City Point, Washington Avenue, the Hill, yay for the Hill. Then we moved over to Fairhaven, Connecticut, over the Fairhaven Bridge, and we lived up that way. So we were back and forth. My family, my mother and stepfather always tried to find the best for us as we grew up and so forth. So, yeah, we were up there, especially Congress Avenue and Arch Street, White Street. We were all over the place, but it was great because it was adversity where we were at. We had a little bit of everybody in New Haven in our communities.
Tell me a little bit about your mother. What's her name, and what kind of influence does she have on you?
Okay, my mother was named Felicia was her middle name, Teofila Escalini. She was a singer back in the 60s and 70s, along with my father being a professional Latin percussionist back in the Tin Pan Alley days with the Tito Puente, the Mango Santa Maria, La Fania All-Stars. But my mother was deep because she was very disciplined, had a great sense of humor, had a great personality, and gave out love to a lot of the community. A lot of the community loved her back and so forth. But she was solid. She was stern. When she said something, the rocks were moved. They obeyed. We obeyed. But we missed her. We lost her about 12 years ago. But her spirit is always with me, and I still hear her voice and advice and wisdom to this very day.
Well, it's something that you grew up hearing a lot around the house that you carry with you every day when there's a tough decision to be made.
Yeah. Could you repeat that one more time? You faded off here.
Just want to know, what's one thing that she said that sticks with you when you got to make a tough decision?
Absolutely. She said, always listen to your inner spirit. Always listen to that voice that was actually God speaking to you through your spirit. To use your wisdom to make those right correction decision. Because, you know, as a young man, we get advice, but sometimes we don't pay attention to those advice. And not saying that sometimes those choices that we make are bad, because those things may be bad at that time, but it's called wisdom. And you learn from that as you get older. You look back and say, oh, okay, I see what mama meant. Ah, I see what daddy meant. And that's interesting because someone who's two or three decades generation older than you are, they've been there, they've done that, so they would know, right? So why would we want to take advantage of a free lesson from mom? You know, they're the best, and that's what moms would do. Give us great wisdom and advice, and like I said, I hear her voice echoing my spirit every single day.
Your stepfather, tell me a little bit about him.
David Chirena, Mr. David Chirena, wow. You know, there were six of us, and six kids, that is, three boys, three girls. And David was my stepfather. But it's interesting because I really looked up to him as my father. I didn't meet my real father until about 9 years ago. But Mr. Girona, David Girona, stepped in there and moved us from New York into New Haven, Connecticut. But he was a hard worker. This man worked 6 or 7 days a week if he had to, but he took care of the house. He was more on the quiet side because he would let my mother do all the talking and so forth. He did discipline us because you know they had that agreement. Hey, this were her kids, not his. But David was always there. He took me to college, drove me to Shenandoah Conservatory of Music when I graduated from high school. Also took me to the airport when I got ready to go to the United States Army. David was always there. He showed me about cars at that time, how to change the oil, make sure I did check the tires. what a man. I gave him a standing ovation for being that stepfather who stepped in, to be my father at the time.
Do you get that? Do you get that hardworking ethic from him? Is that why you work so hard?
I think that's part of it, but I'll be honest with you. In fact, I know that's part of it, because I always saw them in my mother and him, and in my older brother too, who's been with the FBI for like 35 years. He was always that guy who found the puzzles in the back of TV Guide back in the days and filled those puzzles out with the correct words. And so, and junior achievement and A student. So I always saw that. I always looked up to them. So I think my individuality did not even step in. What I mean by that is that I acknowledged my individuality as a person as time went by through time, experiences, wisdom, and making right decisions, making wrong decisions. All that starts to make you, mold you, and shape you as you grow into your person. Being and you accept that person who they are. So, I mean, it took a while, but that really didn't happen until I was in my 30s. I'll be quite honest with you, if truth be told, because by then I could realize who I was and I wasn't as quiet as I used to be growing up. Imagine that, me being quiet.
So you went to middle school, elementary school. I know it was a while ago, but do you remember or recall any of the teachers pulling you aside and saying, hey, you got some talent and, start listening to your heart?
Look, let's go to back to Fayetteville Middle School. Ms. Smith, a piano teacher in fourth, fifth grade, we're in choir. She said, who wants to sing the song Ben, B-E-N, Ben by Michael Jackson back in the day? I already had the music inside of me. I raised my hand, and sure enough, I stood in front of the class, and I sung the song Ben. She was a heavy influence on me. That was just in fifth grade. Before that was H.H. Strong School right there on Grand Avenue, where I don't remember her name, but I remember they gave me the triangle, claves, tambourine, maracas, little small pongos, and that was always stuck to me. You got to remember, my father was a Latin percussionist always, so I used to always listen to the stuff that he did as a child. And the history is that when I was in my mother's womb, my real father, Miguel Portillo, he always played to my mother's tummy, her stomach, while I was in her stomach. So the vibration from the congas and the Mongols would vibrate to her stomach as I was in there when she was impregnated with me. And I would jump up and down in her stomach because of the vibration went through her stomach. And that made me playing for the amount of decades that I have. Now, going back to Lee High School, Mr. Freeman and Mr. Dunkel, band instructor and choir instructor, were heavily influenced on me also, because they saw the gift, they saw the talent, they started making it, they started shaping it, they started teaching me, molding me into really not just listening to music, but to get into the theory of the of what I was doing musically, whether it was with a voice or with an instrument. So they really spent time to get me going on that, because they saw what I felt inside of me, that I was just a musician in progress. And here I am, 62 years later, kicking it and still loving what I do, because it's not what I do only, it's who I am. Once you realize that that's who you are, then you step into the next level.
Mm. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and this is Mr. Chili Willy Groove himself. With that said, what was the first instrument? You said that it was the clave and the triangle, but what was the first instrument that you picked up and really worked on?
You know, it probably was before I even hit elementary school, because like I said, my father was a percussionist. So he had congas in the house. He had bongos in the house. So I'm sure when he played them, I'm sure somewhere along the line they held me up and I hit those congas, hit those bongos. So it was probably a Latin American instrument, which have been heavily dominated and influenced in my life to this day because of the material, the majority of the material that I have out now, over 67 songs that I've already recorded and produced also too, along with three more CDs that we're working on currently. They are heavily Latin influence in the funk field, in the smooth jazz field, in the gospel field, in the reggae field, in the rock field, in the R&B, in the rap also too, because I also programmed DR550 drum machines also too. So it really worked out well for me with Latin percussion instrument. Not to mention the 6/8 African rhythms in also too, because I do a lot of African rhythms also too. So it's very dynamic.
You're drawing a common thread. We're getting into music theory now. So let's get into it. There is a common thread, because when you listen to salsa, Latin jazz, and you got these Afro-Caribbean and African sounds that really translate and lends itself to each other. Would you agree to that? And how does that work?
Absolutely. So let's say, for example, a 6/8 rhythm. Let's take Mango Santa Maria, Afro blues. Da 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 da. The conga. That's a 6/8 rhythm feel. You take those 6/8 rhythm feel and you apply it to some of the stuff that's nowadays and is very applicable. You take a mambo. The same thing you're working on when you're doing a salsa or son montuno or a mambo. You can use those same rhythms to apply to your R&B. In fact, if you listen to a lot of R&B, a lot of soul, a lot of funk, straight ahead jazz, you will hear that. You will hear that conga feel in the background. Then you add a martillo, which is a martillo on the bongos on top of that. And then you add the conga back on top of it. And they fit in just like a glove going on your hand. It makes it solid, make it concrete. It makes it pop out. It really does a lot. You can hear a lot of stuff in a lot of material nowadays with the mambo, so montuno, plena, bomba, merengue, 6/8. When you listen to stuff, listen to the percussion. And if you don't listen to percussion because there's not one there, 9 out of 10, a real percussion can feel it there. But it's not always about putting something there, because you also have to know when not to put something in there. Because the music itself takes over and tells you what it needs. Sometimes as an artist, we think we're in control, but no, not really. It's the song that's telling you what it needs. If you listen to it, it'll tell you what it needs.
You went through so many rhythms, and you're a man of history. How important is it to really have an understanding of discography of music as an entirety when you're creating?
It's important to know those rhythms and know something about music in general. Now, what does that mean? When I break it down, I'm a percussionist, but I also learn how to play guitar. But I also learn how to play piano. But I also learn how to play piano. I'm bass, I'm sorry. So when you're putting something together, you got to, as a percussionist, you got to be able to hear the chord progression. You got to know something about where the song is going, about the progression of the song, where the melody is going, where listen to the orchestra, listen to the symphonic movement, listen to the melody, listen to the vocals, because the song, it tells, will tell you what feel, what color, what texture, what timbre it needs, whether it's something nice and soft, whether it's just a little triangle, whether it's just a whoopa, whether it's just a conga, whether it's just chimes. It helps you paint the picture. Here's how I put it. Picasso was excellent at painting. And he used easel and he used paintbrushes to draw. What we do to paint, what we do as musicians, we do the same thing, but we do it with sound. So a chime to me is a color. A conga is a color. A timbale is a color. So I paint the picture on the musical picture format with musical sound, which gives it a nice texture, a nice timbre, a nice color. And it excites people's senses, because that's what they're for. That's what they're for, you know, to hear and be excited about what's going on. Whether it's a sad song or whether it's a happy, uplifting song, nevertheless, music has that powerful impact on you. It's the only art that would take you anywhere at any time. When you hear it, it'll always take you to where you were at when you first heard it. Music has that power, has that magic to do so.
We see that this Latin Caribbean sound has permeated worldwide. Salsa, especially the Caribbean, that beat that you described goes from Colombia all the way to Japan. Why does this sound resonate with so many cultures all around the world?
Very simple, because a conga, look, you can, it's one thing, you can have a harmonica, I love harmonica, you can have a guitar, I love a guitar, you can have a piano, I love them, I love all those instruments out there. Something about the drum, and here it is right here, this is good. When you were born with your heart, with your head, right next to your mother's heartbeat. So you heard that, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo. So naturally, the infancy, the embryo is already hearing a groove. It's already hearing a heartbeat. When it comes out and it starts listening to stuff, you will always hear a heartbeat. You will always hear a sound. You will always hear a conga. People walk to a rhythm. People talk to a rhythm sometimes. So you flow with the rhythm. Your whole body flows with the rhythm. So it's naturally to say, even when I was on tour in 1988 with a group called Salula New York, we went to Frankfurt, Bamberg, Lessen, Cologne, Nuremberg, Strasbourg, Kern, Metz, France, Iceland, and Luxembourg, and Germany, I'm sorry. But over there, salsa, these Latin rhythms were all over the place. And, you know, I'm Puerto Rican. So I'm looking for the first Puerto Rican out there in Germany. But it wasn't that. It was my German people, and Spain was right there, were listening to Mambo, Son Montuno, Fania All-Star, Willie Colon, anything that came from New York, from the salsa scene, back in the days, the Palladium, you know, for example, all that stuff, the Tito Puente, Mango Santuaria, the Ray Barretos, the Fania All-Stars, all those cats, all those songs, they're very popular because they just have that groove that everybody can believe in and rely on, which is that heartbeat of the drum.
You've played with so many greats, and you've heard so many.
Yeah.
Who is somebody that you were a fanboy when you met him? You were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And you actually learned something while being in their presence.
Wow. Wow. Let me say something. Anna Escaline, my aunt from West Haven, Connecticut, took me to my first Mango Santa Maria concert at Wesleyan University.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep. So we're there. You were there, eye to eye. Look, she took me to Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut, and Mango Santa Maria was playing that evening. Before he played, they gave the Latin organization there, gave him a dinner before the concert. So we all sat there, and sure enough, my aunt sat me right next to Mongo. So I'm looking at this man. I know who he was because I've been listening to jazz since I was a child. R&B and funk too, but something about jazz, it just takes you there. So I'm sitting next to Mongo Santa Maria, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and he's smiling at me, and I'm smiling at him. Finally, the dinner finishes, and I got up, and he was having the conversation with me. And I told him, "Look, I'm a conga player. I play bongos. I play timbale. I'm a percussionist." I was nothing but about 12 or 13 years old. And Mongo looked at me, and I looked at him. Then here it is. He took his hand, and he shook my hand. Now, Mongo Santa Maria has some of the thickest hand you could ever imagine. And then he wraps them up with tape when he gets ready to play. And I shook his hand, he shook my hand, and I was like, wow, and la la land. But I wasn't old enough to really recognize who he was until maybe a decade later, because I know about him. I know I met him, but I didn't really know who he was and how much of a major influence he had made on Latin jazz, on funk, on R&B and so, with Miles Davis, with Dizzy Gillespie and all those cats. I didn't know how big this guy was. Anyway, when he was got ready to do the concert after his after Afro Blues, he invited me up. Here I go, 12 or 13 years old. He invited me up on stage to play it right next to him. When he did that, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So Mongo Santa Maria had a heavy influence on me. And then, of course, same thing happened with Tito Puente. When we opened up for Tito Puente over at the Brian Olden Jazz Festival in New Haven, Connecticut, from the New Haven Dream, that was before they called it the Arts and Ideas Festival, International Arts Festival. It used to be called the Brian Alden Jazz Festival. And when we opened up from Tito Puente, that was exciting. That was exciting. The love of my life, got a chance to meet him, talk to him, hang out with him. And now his son is running his show with Tito Puente Jr., doing all Tito Puente's composition. Exciting.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is Willie Chili Groove doing his thing now vocally.
Yeah.
Telling good old stories. Now, take me a little bit through your musical resume from when you feel like you turned pro, when you first got cash money in your pocket for performing.
Oh, that was easy. That was Bill Brown Group in New Haven, Connecticut. Bill Brown was my music teacher at Educational Center for the Arts. Educational Center for the Arts was part of Yale University. It was like it was like Fame in New York City, where you had that big all the kids went there, and they had arts, they had ceramics, they had photo, they had tap, they had jazz, ballet, they had music, you name it. That's what Educational Center for the Arts was like. Now there, a teacher, Bill Brown, he loved what I did as a percussionist. And one of the other teachers was Nat Elderly, that was both teaching the class. Nat Elderly became the musical director for Luther Vandross. And the rest is history from there with Nat. But Bill was the one that first gave me a booking over at the Foundry Cafe on Audubon Street. And I did that gig. And back then I called them gigs. Today I call them performances, because it's not about me. It's about the audience. Always make it about your audience, not about you. So, we did that at the Foundry Cafe. We got paid. Money looked good. Okay. You mean I can get paid for doing this? You mean I can really get paid for doing this? And I was like, oh, righty then. Let's see how much more money we can make doing this. And here we go. Decades later, Chili Willie Groove is still on the move doing just that. So that was one of my first professional gigs. So, outside of that, go ahead.
So as you grown and you started doing better, bigger things, you mentioned a couple of memorable performances already, opening for Tito, Mongo as a kid.
Sure.
What other highlights you had throughout the years that, you know, you daydream about to this day?
Oh, my God. Okay, let's go back. I want to, one more thing. I used to work with Ronnie Lawrence. Ron Lawrence in New Haven, Connecticut was the baddest guitar player in New Haven. Unfortunately, we lost him a couple of years ago. Worked with Ronnie, a band called The Good News Band. I also got a chance to work with Marion Meadows, a soprano, smooth jazz saxophonist soprano, back in New Haven, Connecticut. Marion Meadows is still doing his thing throughout the United States and abroad. I was his percussionist for a good while, doing just that. After a while, Angela Bofield, Tom Brown, Phyllis Hyman. Then after a while, I left New Haven because my dream, my purpose was bigger. And I knew it in my heart that there had to be much more bigger opportunities. So I went to Arizona, stayed there for a little while. I like Arizona, but it was just too hot, bro. It's not like this brother needed a suntan. Because it was just too hot.
At least it's dry heat, but it does get steamy.
Yeah, you're talking about dry heat. Are you kidding? I mean, I got a suntan on the top of my Puerto Rican tropical suntan already. So it was like, it was interesting. But I took my game from there to, and my vision to Los Angeles. Since I've been in Los Angeles, when I first got here, the very first week I was blessed. Someone got me in touch with H.B. Barnum. Well, who is H.B. Barnum? I'm going to tell you. H.B. Barnum is the musical director for Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin had just passed away when I got to L.A., but they gave her a big tribute, and the word was out that there was this young percussionist that just came in town and gave him a shot. He's making waves and blah, blah, blah. So he gave me a call, and sure enough, I was able to work with him, to work with the Pointer Sister, and just as importantly, she recently became a friend, a good friend this time, Miss Frida Payne. Frida Payne, yes. She recently, I just saw her recently at the Sharon Marie Klein concert. And she was there. Big hug. We talked again. I'm doing a show with her sometime in November. But there's been other artists like the Los Angeles Latin Jazz Mambo Orchestra, also too, Jimmy Cliff, also in Tucson, reggae guy. Got a chance to open up for him. Bootsy Collins. Yeah, I did say Bootsy Collins. Now, there's some funk for you.
Yeah, Parliament, got it.
Parliament, Funkadelics, baby. Go ahead.
No, you tell me. Keep going. So you
work with Bootsy? Okay, sure. Yeah, with Bootsy, that was one thing, because Bootsy is an interesting guy because he's all about love. He's a tall guy. He played basketball. A lot of people don't know that, but he's not pro, but he did that. He's just as tall, about 7 feet. But when he gets his base, oh my God, he's a different person. What a character. What a lovely guy. Beautiful talent, beautiful gift. So was able to do that. And now I'm also working with right here in Los Angeles with three other major big bands. And when I say big bands, I mean 18-piece groups with Michael Parlett, big band. The group is called Psych, the Unexpected Big Band. That's what they call it because the kind of stuff they do. And you really have to be on your game when you work with a big band, an 18-piece band, because every instrument stick out. Look, when you have seven trombone players, when you have six saxophone players, when you have five trumpet players, then you got a full rhythm section also too, you have to really be on your game because everything counts. And everybody reads, so you really have to be on that. But having said that, there's other artists that I've also worked with that I like what I do when I work with them. I just finished working. Let me make sure let's not leave this one. In Los Angeles, with rock groups, I've been working with lately also too, and salsa groups. Yeah, it's amazing.
So my thing now, big band music is a dying art form. I mean, no one records with full bands anymore. Everything is synthesized. What is the difference about bringing in a full band and that really separates the music and the quality?
Well, here's the thing. Big band music is still alive and well, and it's very well kicking. It depends where it's being presented at. I will go with a big band because all the musicians, A, are live. B, they're in front of you. C, you can hear them in their interpretation as they are playing their instrument. C, the whole room is excited. The whole room lights up. It's excitement as best as you can. It's music. It's right then and there. It's not a button that I'm pressing and let the MIDI sequencer play back the instrument. Well, I can hear it, but it's not the same thing as when you get the expression, the artistic expression of the art form itself. And these big bands, they just don't play jazz. Oh, no. They take a lot of the modern stuff that you hear on the radio stuff, and they will rewrite it and put it in a jazz big band form. So it may be something that you have heard before on the radio, but now it's like, when you go hear it, you're like, oh, wow, I know that song. Well, yeah, you know that song because
they're playing, They Not Like Us.
They're not like us. They're not like us. Well, I haven't heard the big band play that one yet, but I want to be part of that one.
But I'm sure Bruno Mars and all these bigger names, they do permeate the culture, and it lends itself too. Good music lends itself to be covered.
Exactly. You know, music is interesting because it soothes your mind, your body, and soul. But the great thing about that is that, you know, it takes you places. You know, everybody has a favorite song that reminds them of somewhere, someplace, somehow, with someone, you know, and that's the magic of music. So I don't care who the artist is. It is what it is. You can go from a duet, you can go from a single person singing, or you can go to a sextet or to a 14, 15 piece band to, you know, and it will all do that for you. By the way, the other place I was trying to think of was, I was just finished playing at Whiskey A Go Go on Sunset Boulevard with the group called Garden of Eve. They are a rock group, they're nationwide known. And when they brought me in to play rock, oh my God. That was different, but you know what? That was different, but I had so much fun, and the audience really were receptive to having a percussionist with a rock group, because rock group does not have percussion, but this rock group did, and it made all the difference.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. This is Chili Willy Groove out from L.A., from New Haven, doing his thing. And if I need a tour guide, I know who to hire.
Let me know. Call me.
but we're getting near the end of our interview. Can you please tell me some of the things that you're up to? And is your turn to plug?
Sure. Let me just say also, too, bendiciones, blessing to my Latin community, porque yo soy de Puerto Rico también. I'm also from Puerto Rico, so I have a big following of my Latin people back in New Haven, so I want to just make sure I say hi to them and to everybody. That's just how we roll here with Chili Willy Groove. I'm coming into New Haven, so we're inviting everybody to New Haven, West Haven. On September 13th, we're going to be coming into a musical venue called Music Back Then. Now, it's good. We're doing smooth jazz, and we're doing Latin jazz, and we're doing funk. I got world-class musicians coming in from New York and coming in from the other parts of Connecticut also. This is Saturday, September 13th at 8 o'clock p.m. This is exciting. This is part of the Lee High School Alumni Association. But the great thing is that it's open for everybody to come. We have selling tickets like crazy. It's going to be a great concert. And we want to see you guys there. I made a vow to give New Haven 150-200% of who I am, what I am, what I do, because that's home for me, New Haven. I was raised in New Haven. So I'm coming there. We're going to Latinize that place. We're going to funk up that place. And we want to see you guys because, like my motto says, we are on the move with Chili Willy Groove.
Where can we find your music? Give us some links.
Absolutely. If you go to Chili Willy Groove, C-H-I-L-L-I-E, Willy, W-I-L-L-I-E, and then Groove, which G-R-O-O-V as in Victor E, Chili Willy Groove. If you Google that, you will find a plethora of information on Apple Music, iTunes, Reverb News, Reverb Nation, number one music. It's all out there. We have a great company that we build. It's a Groove Theme Production, which is a company that I built up that takes care of all that. And by the way, we were just filming our video just yesterday at the Santa Monica Pier in Santa Monica Boulevard for a reggae top 40 R&B song called It's a Great Day. And boy, we got some stuff coming up. And last but not least, I did take New Haven into consideration, of course, to write the first song for New Haven, Connecticut. It's entitled New Haven. It will be released next year. We're hoping to release it at the International Arts and Idea Festival. And it's on the smooth jazz tip, and it's got one of the best vocalists singing the song. I'm just teasing it to let New Haven know that, yes, I am helping to put New Haven on the map when it comes to music also, too.
Thank you so much, Chili Willy Groove, for your time.
Candelario, love you, brother. I love what you do. And everybody at WYBC and abroad, give this man his hand clap. Give this man his standing ovation because he's doing it for New Haven. I love it. I love it. I love it. God bless you guys. We will talk to you guys soon.
This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. These have been the inspirational and kind words from Chili Willy Groove. And like always, for my audience out there, thank you for listening.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.